3.1415. Anybody know what that is? Mathematical pi, right? And pi is one of the most significant numbers in mathematics. Pi is a simple concept, a simple number, but it's incredibly complex. Pi, technically speaking, is the ratio of a circle's circumference to its diameter. And so no matter how big the circle is, that same ratio always applies. Now, pi is an interesting number because it's also an irrational number. And what that means is that it basically goes on forever. Its decimals go on into infinity. And so pi has been figured out by computers to go out to hundreds and hundreds of thousands of places. In fact, back in 2015, there was a Japanese guy by the name of Akira Karaguchi, Tokyo, Japan, who had memorized pi out to 100,000 digits. Isn't that amazing? Took him 16 hours to recite it. As of today, this same gentleman is up to 111,000 digits that he's had memorized. He hasn't had that officially recorded yet, but just incredible, right? This number that goes on and on and on into infinity. Mathematicians and scientists and philosophers have been pondering the meaning of pi for thousands of years. Isn't that incredible? I share this illustration with you this morning because, like pi, the verse that we're going to be looking at today is, in one sense, incredibly simple, yet at the same time, filled with immense depth, profound complexity, and vast applications. It's a verse so simple that a child can understand it. Yet it's a verse so profound that some of the wisest theologians spend lifetimes pondering its meaning. The verse I'm referring to, of course, is Jesus' famous teaching known as the Golden Rule. It's found in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. We are quickly approaching the end of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Many scholars tell us that this section, the prayer we looked at last week, and then the Golden Rule, really is the conclusion to the main body of Jesus' sermon. What we're going to look at in the coming texts are Jesus' call in response to what he's just taught. Will we trust it? Will we follow it by faith? Will we choose his way or our way? But today really is the conclusion to the core of the body of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus here in Matthew 7, 12 says these words, "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." So simple, isn't it? You're profoundly complex. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing on us this morning as we study this incredible teaching and seek to apply it to our lives. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the powerful teachings that we've been studying together in the Sermon on the Mount this year. And today, as we come to this incredible verse, this simple yet profound teaching, Jesus, we pray that these words would resonate in our hearts and in our spirits and our minds, that we would think deeply about what you're calling us to here, and that we would look to you for help in living these out faithfully in our lives. And so, Lord, bless this time of instruction. Help me to communicate clearly and give us open hearts and minds to hear from your word by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus shares this profound teaching. And again, so simple, but we could be here all day reflecting on what the Lord is calling us to. The great Charles Spurgeon, the famous Baptist preacher from London, England, he said it like this in regards to the sermon in regards to the Golden Rule. He says, "Oh, that all men acted on it. And then there would be no slavery, no war, no sweating, no striking, no lying, no robbing, but all would be justice and love. What a kingdom is this which has such a law? This is the Christian code. This is the condensation of all that is right and generous. We adore the King out of whose mouth and heart such a law could flow. This one rule is a proof of the divinity of our holy religion. The universal practice of it by all who call themselves Christians would carry conviction to the Jew, Turk, and infidel with greater speed and certainty than all the apologies and arguments which the wit or piety of men could produce. Lord, teach it to me. Write it on the fleshly tablets of my renewed heart. Write it out in full in my life. Spurgeon here highlights for us just how powerful this command is. And as he prays, Lord, write this on the tablets of our heart. Write it throughout the entirety of my life. That's my prayer for us this morning as we study Jesus' command here in the Golden Rule. My hope and prayer this morning is that we might not only understand what the Lord is calling us to here, but that we might seek to live out this teaching faithfully in our lives. And to help us do this, I want to highlight three things that we learn about the Golden Rule from our Lord. Number one, Jesus highlights for us that the Golden Rule flows out of a golden promise. This golden rule flows out of a golden promise. Now, to properly appreciate and live out the call here in the golden rule, we need to read this command in light of its context. Friends, remember, we talk about this often. Context matters when we are studying God's word. We can't pull scriptures out of their context. We need to read verses in light of the section that it's in light of the chapter that it's in light of the book it's in. And once again, context here for this golden rule is absolutely essential. The first thing you need to recognize here this morning is that Jesus prefaces his teaching. What is wrong with me? Jesus prefaces his teaching with the word so. Did you notice that right here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 12? The golden rule begins with this word, so. Now, so is an incredibly important word. So is similar to that word, therefore, that we've talked about, right? We've talked about therefore. Whenever you see therefore, you ask the question, wherefore art thou therefore, right? Now, the same thing is true when you see the word so. So is an intentional word. And when you think of the word so, when you see that in your Bibles, I want you to think of sewing like stitching, right? So, what are we doing? We're sewing. Sewing what? We're sewing this teaching together with what Jesus has just taught previously. Okay, so we're stitching together this teaching in light of the context of what Jesus has just taught us. So the word so here stitches together the golden rule with what has just come before it. And if you remember from last week, friends, Jesus has just taught us in verses 7 through 11 that we have a loving Father in heaven who always gives good things to those who ask him. Let's look back at verses 7 through 11 in order to help us understand the golden rule. Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So again, Jesus teaches us here, we have a loving Father in heaven. When his people come to him persistently in prayer, asking to grow in their walk with him, in their relationship with him, in their fidelity to his will and his ways for our lives, as we ask and seek and knock for these good gifts, these good things, Jesus is always faithful to provide to those of us who ask him. And so Jesus here shares with us, as I suggested last week, what I called the always affirmatively answered appeal. This is the one prayer that Jesus always answers affirmatively, right? Sometimes he says no. Sometimes he says, let's wait on that one. But there's one prayer that Jesus says, when you ask, when you seek, when you knock, I'm always going to answer that in the affirmative, and that is when you come to me seeking the good things that you need, or as we saw in Luke chapter 11 last week, the Holy Spirit, the good things, the Holy Spirit, so that you can live out my teachings in your life. Jesus always promises to answer that prayer. Now, again, what an incredible promise that is for us, right? To know that when we go to the Lord in prayer, we can have confidence that he will be faithful to give us everything that we need to live for him. Now, back to the word so. How is the golden rule stitched together to this promise? Well, friends, it's because that we have a Father in heaven who is so gracious to us. Because we have a Father in heaven who's so gracious to us, we then are called to be gracious to others. And so first and foremost, we're to recognize that the golden rule is really an overflow of God's golden promise to us. Just like our Heavenly Father promises to give good things to us when we ask him, he promises his faithfulness to us. Because we have a Father in heaven who is so gracious to us, friends, we are to be gracious in service to others. Now, there's another contextual point we need to see here in our Lord's teaching. I want you to look at how verse 12 ends. Jesus here in the golden rule, he says, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Jesus ends this teaching with this statement, this is the law and the prophets. Now, what does this mean? Well, Jesus is telling us here that the golden rule is really the summation of all of God's moral commands found in the Old Testament related to our love for others. When Jesus says this is the law and the prophets, he's basically saying that this one command, this golden rule, summarizes everything that we read in the Old Testament, in the law and the prophets, about God's call on our lives to love others. Now, again, we could spend all day going through the Old Testament's teachings on God's commands for us and our obligations and responsibilities towards others. Let me just highlight a few of these for us. From the law and the prophets, Leviticus chapter 19, verses 17 and 18. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. We're to love our neighbors as ourselves, God says. Micah chapter 6, 8, the prophet Micah, he tells us, he has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. We read, for example, in the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 1, verses 16 through 17. Isaiah says, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good, seek justice, correct oppression, bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause. We read in those great Ten Commandments. If you remember the Ten Commandments, the first four commandments are all about our obligations to God. The last six commandments are about our obligations to others. And if you remember in the Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20, verses 12 through 17, the last six commandments say this, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land, and that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that is your neighbor's. Now, grandfriends, we could go on and on and on this morning talking about God's teachings in the law and in the prophets about our obligation to our neighbors, to others. But Jesus says, look it, you can do that, but let me tell you something. All of these teachings can be summed up in one statement. Whatever you wish others would do to you, so do likewise to them. The golden rule. We often memorize it as young kids, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Jesus says that all of God's commands can be summed up in this statement. And this leads me to point number two this morning. The golden rule feeds into a golden perspective. And what is this golden perspective? This golden perspective is a wonderful outlook that leads us to assess our lives and our relationships through a simple yet revolutionary question. And that question is this: how would I like to be treated in this situation? And however you would answer that question, Jesus says, go and do likewise. Friends, do you see the revolutionary nature of this perspective that the golden rule creates in our lives? Right? Any situation we enter into, how would I like to be treated in this circumstance? Jesus says, go and do likewise. Now, for those of us who have grown up in the Christian faith or even here in Western culture, which has been heavily influenced by the teachings of Christianity, we can take for granted the revolutionary nature of Jesus' teaching here in the Golden Rule. And we can easily miss the fact that this command is absolutely unique in all of the world, unique amongst all religions, amongst all philosophies. In fact, I was speaking a few years ago at an apologetics conference, and I was teaching on the uniqueness of Jesus Christ. And one of the points I was making was the reality of the uniqueness of Jesus' teaching, his ethical teaching, which truly has brought about a revolution in human relationships and in a whole host of areas, law and government and society and education and care for the least of these. I mean, Jesus revolutionized all of these things through his teachings. At that conference during the question and answer session, a young man stood up to challenge me on that point. He said, Mr. Carlson, what about Confucius? Confucius taught the golden rule. Friends, did you know you'll find versions of the golden rule in other religions? Even those that predate Jesus Christ? Confucius did teach the golden rule. But Confucius taught the principle of reciprocity. Confucius's golden rule went like this. Confucius said, what you do not want done to yourself, do not do to others. And it was this version of the golden rule that was passed down through the Jewish Pharisaical tradition at the time of Jesus. These are the guys, the religious leaders that Jesus was confronting so often in his ministry. The Pharisees had adopted this version of the golden rule. In fact, the most prominent Jewish rabbi in Jesus' day was a rabbi named Hillel. He was the teacher of another rabbi named Gamaliel, who was the teacher of another guy by the name of Saul, who we know as the Apostle Paul. And Rabbi Hillel took this golden rule and he put it like this: what is hateful to yourself, do to no other. Now, friends, do you notice the difference here in these versions of the golden rule from Jesus' version of the golden rule? What's the difference? These teachings are both negative, aren't they? They're both negative. What you don't want done to you, don't do to others. But Jesus comes along and Jesus teaches us a positive rule. Jesus says, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. And friends, understand there is a massive difference between these negative forms of the golden rule and Jesus's positive expression of the golden rule. Friends, the problem with these negative forms of the golden rule is that these can be obeyed by simply doing nothing, right? I can sit on my couch all afternoon watching TV and eating Cheetos and honor these rules, right? But all of a sudden, if I'm going to honor Jesus's version of the golden rule, now this forces me to get active. This means I have to be proactive. Jesus' teaching opens up a whole new world of possibilities. Now I have to love. Now I have to take seriously these teachings of Jesus. Now I have to do what he tells me to do here in the Sermon on the Mount. I have to honor his commands. Commands like we've seen in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 and 48. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And we see these teachings in the Sermon on the Mount that we've been studying already throughout the last few months. And Jesus' golden rule, friends, the summation of all these teachings, we discover is completely different from the golden rule found in other religions. Jesus' golden rule revolutionizes everything by giving us the positive command to do to others what we would have them do to us. Friends, I hope you're understanding the revolutionary implications of this for our lives today. If we were to put Jesus' teaching here into practice, this literally has implications for every relationship and every area of our lives. The golden rule does nothing less than transform our entire perspective on our responsibilities towards others. Jesus says, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Friends, understand, this is not a suggestion. This is a command of our Lord Jesus Christ. I find it interesting, so many times we come to the teachings of Jesus and we look for opt-outs instead of opportunities. Isn't that the case? Well, Jesus, yeah, did you really mean that? I mean, come on, you know, I mean, what about? Instead, Jesus says, look for opportunities to put this into practice in your life. I want to suggest three ways here that the golden rule shapes our perspective. Number one, the first thing that we see as we study this incredible teaching is that our service isn't based on how others serve us, but on how we would like to be served. Okay, understand this, friends. Unlike Confucius's teaching, the ethic of Jesus people isn't based on reciprocity. We don't do to others based on what they do to us. No, Jesus says we do unto others as how we would like them to do unto us. Okay? The way of Jesus, people, is to go above and beyond what others expect. The world expects, you don't treat other people any different than they treat you. All right, if somebody's not nice to you, if somebody's being a jerk to you, then at the very least, just ignore them or be a jerk back, right? Like, that's the way of the world. But that's not the way of Jesus people. The ethic of Jesus people is to go above and beyond in our love and service for others. I came across an awesome story just recently, a young man named Jamal Shedd. Jamal Shedd is one of the top college basketball players in the nation today. He plays for Houston University, the Cougars. Jamal Shedd's going to be drafted in the NBA draft this year. He's probably going to be one of the top draft picks. He's arguably the best two-way player in college basketball, offense and defense. He was the defensive player of the year this year. He was all Pac-12, All-American. I mean, guy's one of the best guards in basketball. Saw an interesting story as one of the draft analysts were talking about Jamal Shedd. They were talking about his character. And they pointed back to a situation two seasons ago at the end of one of Houston's games. Houston had lost on a controversial call at the end of the game, and his coach and his teammates stormed off the court. On their way into the locker room, they started kicking over chairs, and they knocked over the trash can leading into the locker room. Jamal Shedd was the last player to head towards the locker room, and the fans stood amazed as they saw one of the best basketball players in the country bend down and get down on his hands and knees and start picking up the trash. See, Jamal Shedd is a follower of Jesus Christ. He understands the ethic of Jesus people. He understands the teaching of whatever you would have others do to you, do also to them. And Jamal Shedd understood that, would I want somebody coming into my house and throwing trash all over the place? No. So why would I do that to others? And this young man courageously stood there and cleaned up all the trash before heading into the locker room. And you can literally see the guy and the fans stopping. And literally, if you see the video of it, they're pointing like in amazement, like, what is this kid doing? He's picking up the trash. Why? Because that's the way of Jesus, people. Do unto others what we would have them do unto us. The second thing that we observe as we study this golden rule is that our service is limited only by our desire and imagination. Friends, this golden rule is really the Swiss Army knife of ethics, right? How many of you ever had a Swiss Army knife? What's so cool about Swiss Army knives, right? What's so cool about them? They're ready for any situation. They have innumerable purposes and uses, right? This is the same with the golden rule. No matter where we go, no matter what we do, no matter who we encounter, there's always a way to apply the golden rule in every situation. In fact, the only limit on the golden rule is what we can imagine and how badly we desire to live it out. The third thing we understand about this golden rule and how it shifts our perspective is that the golden rule teaches us that our service is not to be confined just to our loved ones, to our family and friends, right? Like the world says, look, you take care of your own, right? You love your family, love your friends. And then if there's other people out there, if they're good to you, if they agree with you, if they're kind to you, you know, if they're part of your tribe, whatever it might be, like then maybe you can do some good stuff for them. But it's all about family, family first. But Jesus's ethic takes us beyond our family and friends. Jesus' ethic goes beyond our loved ones. Jesus here tells us that we are to serve others. That word others in the Greek is anthropos. It literally means humanity, mankind. It's a general term that encompasses anyone in our lives, even those difficult people who are sometimes hard to love. Jesus says, do unto others as you would have done unto you. That's not always easy, is it? We all have challenging and difficult people in our lives. But when we live out this command of Jesus, it can be revolutionary. You remember what Jesus said back in Matthew 5:16? He said, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and give praise to your Father in heaven. Friends, one of the ways that we let our light shine is by living out the golden rule. I had a cool experience recently. My brother was telling me about a recent trip he was on out in California. He ran into a young man that was a camper when Jared and I worked at a Christian camp up in the Sierra Mountains outside Yosemite for a few years back when we were in college and seminary. This young man, his name, we'll call him Jerry for the sake of the story this morning. But Jerry, man, he was a kid we had for about 3 years, three summers in a row. And this camp, understand this camp, kids would come for 2 weeks. So if you were a counselor, you were with these same kids for 2 weeks, 24 hours a day. Jerry was a tough kid to love. Came from a real tough background. Single mom, no dad in his life. Just a really like needy kid, clingy kid. Talk your ear off all day long kind of a person. Like in your face talker kind of a person. Jerry didn't have great hygiene, smelled really bad, had to force him to take a shower. My brother ran into Jerry just this past year. Jerry's now a grown man, an adult, he's married, he's got kids of his own, and my brother Jared, in talking to Jerry, he just was so blessed. Jerry said to my brother, he said, those summers at camp were the most meaningful times of my life. He said, I saw Jesus through you guys. And I felt loved there like I never felt loved anywhere else before. You know, and again, I'm not trying to like toot my own horn or my brother's own horn. I'm acknowledging like loving Jerry was extremely hard. But why do we do it? Because we would want to be loved that way. We would want to be served that way. And God used that love and that service towards a very difficult person to transform that young man's life. And he's still walking with Jesus today as an adult. Jesus says, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. Friends, this golden rule that Jesus gives us here, it brings together all of his ethical teachings and the entirety of his moral will for our lives. He brings it all together in this one simple call to action. How would you like others to treat you? Friends, how you would answer that question is how you are called to treat them. Now, on one hand, isn't that really great? Right? It's so simple. You don't have to wonder, how am I supposed to live in this world as a person who's a follower of Jesus, right? You don't have to Google search it. You know, Lord, what do I do in this situation? You know, you don't have to pull out your pocket guide to Christian ethics or Christian ethics for dummies, right? Like, we just simply ask ourselves, how would I want to be treated? And then Jesus says, do to others that very same way. And so on one hand, this is so simple. And I encourage you this morning to think about, like, what would it look like for you to live this out in your life today or in the next week? Husbands and wives here this morning, what would it look like for you to live this principle out in your relationship with your spouse? Young people here today, what would it look like for you to live this out in relationship to your parents or your brother or sister? What would it look like for you to live out this golden rule tomorrow as you go to work with your coworkers or your employees if you're a manager or a boss? What would it look like for you to live this principle out amongst your students in the classroom or towards your teachers? Jesus says, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. But of course, just like that great mathematical principle that we looked at earlier, pi. While in one sense this teaching's incredibly simple, this golden rule is also profoundly challenging. Why is that? It's challenging because it rubs against our sinful nature, doesn't it? Our sinful nature doesn't inherently long to fulfill the golden rule. Our sinful nature inherently longs to live for me and to meet my needs and take care of my concerns. We're selfish creatures by nature, and we are totally happy to turn a blind eye to the needs of others. And so, as he's done repeatedly here in the Sermon on the Mount, once again here in this golden rule, Jesus exposes us for who we truly are. And he reveals just how powerless we are to live out God's righteous standards through our own means, through our own efforts. Once again, we're forced to admit that we have no hope of being the kind of people God wants us to be apart from his amazing grace and his empowerment in our lives. This leads us to point number three this morning. The golden rule is found in a golden prince. The golden rule is found in a golden prince. A few years ago, I was preaching at a church outside of Washington, D.C. My son Caleb and I had a chance to go and visit some of the monuments and museums there in Washington, D.C. One of the places we got to visit was the Lincoln Memorial. And there on the Lincoln Memorial, there's a star that's been set into the stone steps of the Lincoln Memorial. The star commemorates the site of Martin Luther King Jr.'s famous speech, his I Have a Dream speech. If you remember that speech back in August 28, 1963, Martin Luther King Jr. said to America, I have a dream. It was one of the most powerful speeches in the history of the United States. In this speech, he gave our nation a vision of a society characterized by justice and reconciliation and love for others. 60 years ago. Friends, 60 years have gone by and we're still inspired by Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream. But let me ask you a question. Why hasn't the dream become a reality? 60 years has gone by. Why hasn't the dream become a reality? Why is our nation today still ravaged by injustice and division and hatred? The answer, friends, is that Martin Luther King had a dream, but he failed to point us to the one who inspired it. And like Martin Luther King Jr., many social reformers over the years have tried to stir men and women to follow the ideal of the golden rule, but divorced from a relationship with the golden prince, Jesus Christ, the best humanity can do is simply dream. And so, friends, if we have any hope of having this golden rule shape our perspective on others and our actions towards them, we need Jesus. We need Jesus. We need to look to his model, and we need to seek his empowerment. What is the model of Jesus Christ? Philippians 2, 3 through 8 tells us, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant. Being born in the likeness of man and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Friends, how do we live out the golden rule? We look to the model of Jesus Christ. And then we trust in the empowerment that the gospel of Jesus Christ provides in our lives. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. What does that mean? Paul says when we trust in Jesus and we look to him for our salvation, that he brings transformation in our lives. He changes us from being these selfish, self-centered people into people who are now empowered by God's Spirit to live out the love of Jesus and the teachings of Jesus in our lives. We do through Jesus what we can't do through our own empowerment. Jesus promises us his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And Jesus tells us in passages like John 15, 4 and 5, that he is the vine, we are the branches. If we stay close to him, if we abide in him, we will bear much fruit. And then Paul tells us about the fruit of the Spirit that's produced in our lives as we stay close to Jesus. As we're empowered by Jesus, as the gospel changes our lives through the Holy Spirit's power. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says that the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All of this, friends, is available to us through the power of the gospel. But we need to look to Jesus, his model and his empowerment. If we have any hope of being Jesus people who live out the golden rule in our lives. This morning we're going to take communion together, and as we take communion, I want to spend some time reflecting on who Jesus is and what he's done for us and how his gospel empowers us to live out the call of the golden rule. We can't do it on our own. It's only through Jesus. And Jesus, 2,000 years ago, he came and he laid down his life on a cross. He shed his blood so that we could be forgiven of our sins, so that we could be reconciled to our Creator, so that we could be empowered by his Spirit to live out these teachings through the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us. But it's only through Jesus, and it's all because of Jesus. So this morning, before we take communion, I just want to spend a minute. Let's have a quiet time of prayer. And I just want you to reflect on what Jesus has done for you, what it might mean for you to live out this golden rule. And then ask Jesus to help you in that, to empower you by his Spirit, to be a man or woman that lives out these principles faithfully in your lives. Let's pray together.